This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The road to Alec Murdaugh murder trial number two, the road there just keeps getting paved clearer and clearer. Any gravel on the road, any rocks, any stumbling grounds to get there? Well, it's looking pretty damn nice to drive on right now if you are Alec Murdaugh. As more information comes out, including SLED saying they have two active investigations into Becky Hill, one for the jury tampering allegations, which will be handled later in the month in that evidentiary hearing. But of course, also the improper use of the office, allegations that she and her staff had five payments that were made for bonuses taken out of federal child support funds between November 2021 and November 2023. Along with cashing those checks or the check for more than $10,000 in her own name. There's a lot of impropriety allegations that are floating here for someone who really needs credibility right now. We're getting closer and closer to this. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, where do you think we are headed as of now? Because this road, like I said, it's getting clearer and clearer for Alec.
Yeah, it continues to be a non-surprising one. As we even said in the last episode, it's all these data points. We're not surprised by them anymore because she's got a lot of them. I don't know where this ends because it really comes down to what I was reading. Because again, I'm not a legal expert. It comes down to whether it matters whether they can prove that she influenced the jury or not with her behavior, and whether that is actually part of what decides whether it's a retrial or not. So I don't know those answers. But like you said, we got a lot of problems in this organization down there. And every time something like this pops up, I'm reminded of my own career in the FBI. And I'm reminded of all the rules, regulations, processes, and procedures that are in place to keep things like this from happening. And again, no organization is perfect, as we know from the FBI. I mean, it's just one of many that is riddled with some bad people doing bad things. And hopefully because of our operational guidelines, it rights the ship eventually. Mm-hmm. There's another data point I thought about on this case that is befuddling to me. So here I am. I don't do me moments often, but behind me are three of my books I've written.
Yes.
Each one of those books went through pre-publication review for the FBI. My last one, Sizing People Up, which came out right before I retired, it took, I think, about a year and a half to make it through our system. And every single story in that book is fictionalized. I'm not even talking about real cases. I'm talking about stories and cases that I did that I fictionalized to get published, mm-hmm. so it could make it through the process. So how was it that she was able to get that book out so fast? It just befuddles the mind. And also, yeah. I was also precluded from outside employment. I needed special authority to even have outside employment outside of my job that I was directed to do. So where's her outside employment authority? Where's the pre-publication review of the manuscript that goes out? Matter of fact, you can't even, inside the government, you can't even put a manuscript out for someone to review until that goes through pre-publication review. And then the caveat at the beginning, I mean, I could read you the caveat at the beginning of each of my books saying this is the expressed opinions of me alone and yep. not the FBI. So that's just one thing out of many that says, what?
Well, she didn't exactly go through any of that process, especially, no kidding. I mean, the key point is here, and I think it's funny because they keep trying to make it sound like there's a publisher when there's really not. It's a self-published book.
Yeah.
They went to a service that basically puts the pieces of the pages together and lets you then publish your own book. So it's up to you if you want to have this thing proofread, if you want to have this thing looked over by an attorney, if you want to have it edited. But quite often when you self-publish a book, you're doing it because no one wants your book. and you're doing it.
I am an expert in this. My first book, it's not all about me.
Yeah.
Funny topic, right? Is self-published.
Sure.
And I know this process very, yeah. very, very well.
Yes.
I have sold, so that my first book sold is actually over the lifetime since 2011, yeah. is up around 120,000 copies
yeah.
sold.
Yep.
That's a lot.
You've proven that people do want to hear you because that was
and
your
first.
You're
not going to do is you're not going to get rich.
No.
Self-publishing.
You're not at all.
So that's why.
No.
That's why, like you said, her the risk she took with her own professional career, her reputation,
yeah,
all these things to self-publish a book to make on a good day 70% of your sales of a book that I think was I looked at it online on Amazon. I think it was like $18 or something like that. You know, like you're sitting at the end of the day saying you've
was
blown
it worth
your
it?
Life on nothing.
I know. I mean, even selling a lot of books in the book world does not make a lot of money. People will be shocked by that.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. The whole point of writing a book is to put, you know, unless you are, you know, like a Ryan Holiday or Robert Greene, you know, all the big authors I read, you know, is to get information out there to make the world a better place.
Sure.
And if someone likes your ideas, maybe able to hire you as a consultant or a speaker, or you get on podcasts with Tony. But that's really the point of writing a book, is to provide a service to the public to get information out that they might not otherwise have. My great friend Joe Navarro, great nonverbal expert, FBI guy, he always imbued in me, and he was one of the founders of my behavioral team. He always said, if you have at least one bit of information that the world could benefit from, shame on you for not getting it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the point of writing a book. But hers was twisted into, I'm going to make millions off this. No, you're not.
Yeah. You'll make a couple $1,000 maybe at the end of the day, if that, on a self-published book. That
is- I'd be curious as to whether she's going to file taxes on that like she's supposed to, too. That'll be the next thing.
Yeah, that does. She'll be in some sort. I mean, the thing is, we're seeing this arc of behavior with her of just improprieties. And yes, she's such a nice lady, but that doesn't mean you can't be doing bad things behind the scenes, whether she was even aware of how bad they were or not.
And, you know, and that's another point in here. So we reverse that optic once again, too. So had she had someone in her life that had at least one rep of self, and like, let's do that thought experiment. If Becky Hill had reached out to me and said, Robin, I'm thinking about self-publishing this book because I'm sitting on this case, I would sit here like I'm chatting with you saying, Becky, you know what? Here's some issues and here's some challenges along the way. Are you willing to risk X, Y, and Z to do this, this, and this? And have you done this? Have you gone through pre-publication review? Have you talked to the people involved in this? Have you gotten there? I mean, there's all these questions I would ask her as a loving critic in her life that would have given her pause to say, ooh, I don't know, that might not be a good idea. I don't think she did that with anyone.
No.
Or if she did, she talked to people that were completely uninformed. I mean, she's talking in an echo chamber. I mean, it just befuddles the mind. And it's incredibly sad.
It is. I mean, this is someone who, you know, had Alec Murdaugh not shown up in her world, in her life, maybe these bad decisions wouldn't be coming to light. Maybe some of these bad decisions wouldn't have been made. But one also has to assume, I think, a little bit, and I would assume they're going to go back and look at her track record in other areas, in other cases as well, and see what sort of decisions were made and see if any of those decisions did affect things where they shouldn't have.
I'm still just, when I, like you, when I saw how this book was published, I didn't get it. I just didn't get it at all, because it really, I mean, she really put herself out there on a limb and took a massive risk in doing it the way she did it, with such a potential for low return.
Mm-hmm.
It really was dumbfounding to me. That was such a bad decision.
Not having the knowledge.
Which I think really highlighted everything. When one thing goes sideways like that, that brought all this attention in on her, which exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible decision.
It's going to be something I think she'll be living with and regretting for quite some time. We'll have to see where
there
it all
no doubt
pans out here with that hearing coming up later this month.
Yeah.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.